5. Again, last week looking at verse 21. This will be our last lesson in the book of 1 John as we've been looking at the Christian life as it's illustrated in the book. And we see here the closing line of the book, which is, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." So he ends the letter with a command, which is somewhat of an unusual way to end the letter, certainly not the norm, especially in the previous 104 verses. He never once mentioned the word idols, never once really mentioned idolatry. But yet he closes the letter with this command: keep yourselves from idols. And it really goes back to what he said in verse 20, and that is that the Son of God, Jesus, has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. So Jesus Christ is the revelation of God, that God is true, and we are in him that is true, and in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal light. So three times there in verse 20, we see the word true having reference to God. So the immediate connection goes back to God being the true God. Keep yourselves from idols. But there is a connection for the whole book, which we will get to. But by way of review, we see that this is a personal command: keep yourselves. It's not something that someone else can do for you. They cannot keep the idols out of your heart and out of your mind. So this is a personal duty. And just as we've seen throughout the book, the life that we have the privilege of living as a child of God is something that we do individually, something that we are responsible to do individually. And then, of course, is that word keep, which does imply that there's a struggle going on. And there is. There is always a struggle between the idols of the world and the idols of our hearts. Our hearts are like idol-making factories. Now, so we have the idols of the world, we have the idols of our heart, and there's a constant struggle to keep ourselves from idols. The word keep means to hold ourselves back from idols, to prevent ourselves from going in the way of idols. It involves, of course, a guarding against idols, a guarding of our own heart and a guarding of our own mind, a protecting of ourselves from idols. It is protecting our hearts and our minds. It's has to do with policing ourselves. Keep yourselves from idols. You have to police yourself. You are responsible to police yourself. Has to do with defending ourselves from idols, separating ourselves from idols, removing ourselves from idols. And we all have definitions of what we think an idol what we think an idol is. In fact, as soon as we hear the word, there something pops into our mind. There are certain things that you and I recognize as idolatry, that we recognize as idols, but there are many things, and we saw last week that anything, it doesn't matter what it is, anything can become an idol, no matter what. Even our service to the Lord can become an idol. We can put service in the place of God. Then it becomes an idol. So everything we do, everything that comes our way, there is the possibility exists that can be an idol in our life. It's those things which take center stage, those things that occupy the place that only God should occupy. The Bible is very, very, very clear that God is to be first. He is to be first. He is to be first in all things. He is to have a controlling position in our life. So whatever else takes on a more of a controlling position than God, that's an idol. That becomes an idol. Those things that capture our attention more than God. Again, the Bible's very clear. With all your heart, with all your heart, we're to love the Lord. We're to follow the Lord. So those things that capture our attention more than God has our attention. Those things that fill our thoughts more than God fills our thoughts and consumes our desires more than God consumes our desires. Those are all forms of idolatry. Now, we have a tendency to picture idolatry as it is revealed many times in the Old Testament, the literal bowing down to a piece of wood or a stone. And certainly none of us are guilty of bowing down to some statue. We're not guilty of bowing down to some piece of wood or some piece of stone. But idolatry is not limited to those things. In fact, that really is a very small aspect of idolatry. We saw last week that behind all idols, whatever the idol is, behind all idols there is an opposition to God. There is an opposing, a rebelling against God's position in our life. In all idols, whatever form that idol takes, there is a forgetting of God. Not that we necessarily forget Him completely, but there is a degree of forgetting God. There is a going astray from God. To some degree, behind every idol, we go astray from the Lord. There is, to some degree, an estrangement from God. And to some degree, there is a forsaking of God. So when we read the commandment, keep yourselves from idols, that is a warning, that is a prohibition against putting anything in God's place or moving God out of His place. It has reference to a wrong attitude toward the material. And therefore, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul said that covetousness is idolatry. Because it's the wrong spirit, it's the wrong attitude toward material things. The very first command of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, in verse 3, is thou shalt have, that is, possess, keep, or hold. Thou shalt have no other. That no other simply means not any. Thou shalt possess, enjoy, keep, hold, not any, gods before me. Before me simply means in preference to me. So whatever we enjoy, keep, or hold in preference to God, this is what he's commanding against. People make choices all the time that, whether they realize it or not, declare loud and clear that right now, today, I prefer this over God. They may not be saying this is my preference for my entire life. We'll give them that. But they make a choice, and they are saying that right now, today, I prefer this rather than God. People do this all the time when it comes to attendance in the Lord's house. Today, I prefer, whatever it might be, to being in God's house. Now, that's unreasonable. It doesn't make any sense. But it goes beyond just preferring something rather than being in God's house. It is a preference of something before God. Now, again, don't have a bit of problem, people taking vacations, but you do not take a vacation from God. That's idolatry. That is preferring something in the place of God. So in this very first command, idolatry, that is that which is in preference to God, that which is before God, is forbidden. It's forbidden. It is forbidden by God. What that means is that it is outlawed by God. When God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, God was outlawing anything that is put in preference to God. Now, if God outlawed it, if God banned it, then does it not become a criminal act when we put something in preference to God? Of course it does. It is a breaking of the law of God. Now, in that very first command, idolatry, that which is put in preference. Again, those words before me explain what idolatry is. It's anything in preference to God. That's idolatry. And idolatry is condemned. And John says, keep yourselves from idols. Now the Bible declares that all forms of idolatry are an abomination to God. Are an abomination to God. Putting something, holding something in preference to God. That's an abomination. That is something that is hateful to God. Psalm 1:15, we'll not turn there to save time, but verses 4 through 8, it presents idolatry as something that is very vain, empty, and it's something foolish. I mean, it's the height of foolishness to put anything in preference to God. I mean, that's foolishness. It is presented throughout the Word of God as unprofitable. And I just wish that so many of God's people would learn this one lesson, that it will never profit you to put anything before God. Never. It will never profit you. You may make more money, but it will not profit you. It will not prove to be profitable. How can it be? It is always unprofitable to put anything in preference to God. But this commandment, the very first commandment, is foundational. And it's key to all the rest. Really, if we obey this first commandment, the others fall in place. You give God first place in your life, then none of these others even become an issue. So the negative is, keep yourselves from idols. The negative is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The positive side is, thou shalt reverence God. Again, before he closed 1 John, in verse 20, he referred to God as the true God. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 2, before he issued the command, he said, I am the Lord thy God. In both cases, we are reminded of who God is. So to keep ourselves from idols means that we reverence God. And that's what the Christian life is. It is a life of reverence, a life of reverence to God. And all that we would realize that every time we put something in preference to God, that is irreverence. That is irreverence to God. Reverence of God means that God, we're aware of who God is. And it means that we acknowledge or we recognize God accordingly. It means that we glorify God accordingly. He's the true God. He's the Lord our God. We are to glorify him accordingly. That's the Christian life. We are to think of him accordingly. We're to esteem him. We're to honor him. It means that we are to desire him above everything else. And every day we are faced with choices. The things of the world, the things of self, or God. Every day. Every day we're faced with these choices. It means that we are to believe God. Reverence is believing the Lord. Believing is manifested by trusting, by leaning upon God. You see, our trust is to the degree of our believing. We reverence God when we believe him. We reverence God when we trust him. And when we reverence God, it means that we delight in God. So the command, keep yourselves from idols, John is simply reminding us, God is number one. Never is he number two. He is always number one. Always. He is always to be recognized as number one. He is always to have first place. Always. And we have been taught, it has been drilled into our heads, whether it has been literally spoken to us or simple observation of the lives of God's people, that people believe that if they put God first in everything, they're not going to succeed in this world. But where we want to succeed is with God. And success is simply doing and being what God would have you to be. That's success. If you do what God would have you to do, you are successful. If you are what God would have you to be, you are successful. If you're where God would have you to be, you are successful. No matter what else is going on, that is success. But there is a fear. There is a fear amongst God's people of always putting God first. There's a fear. But this is part of the warning. Keep yourselves from idols. That is, God is to be foremost in our life. He's to be the most important. He's to be the most important. He's to be the predominant one in our life. So this is a command to reverence the Lord. Now, how does this fit? Since he closes the book with keep yourselves from idols, it must have a connection with the entire book. How does this fit? Again, he hasn't even mentioned the word idols up to this point. I believe that keep yourselves from idols is necessary to fulfilling the teachings, the book of 1 John. Absolutely necessary. Again, we've spent many, many months, I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a while, going through 1 John, looking at various illustrations of the Christian life. The life that you and I are privileged to live. We have seen that it is a life of personal relationship with God. But may I say, you can't have that unless you keep yourself from idols. It is a life of fellowship with God. But you can't have that unless you keep yourself from idols. It's a life of joy. A life of joy. That's the life we're privileged to live. But idols will rob us of that joy. It is a life of walking in the light. But idols will cause you to walk in darkness. It's a life of obedience. And again, the only way that we can truly be obedient is if we give God his proper place. It's a life of abiding in God. Again, in order to do this, we have to keep ourselves from idols. It's a life of love. A love to the Lord. A love to one another. But idols are a great hindrance to that sort of life. We've seen that it is a life for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ. Therefore, keep yourselves from idols. It's a life of victory. But idols bring defeat. into our lives. We've seen that it's a life of separation. We're to be separated from the world. We're not to love the world. Therefore, we have to keep ourselves from idols. It's a life of beholding the love of God. And it's really the failure to do that that brings idolatry into our lives. It's a life of expectancy and anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ. You know why many today are not expecting or anticipating Christ to return? Why they're not looking for Christ to return? Because their life is filled with idols. They've got too many other things on their mind to even concern themselves with the coming of Jesus Christ. We've seen that it's a life of confidence and praying. But again, in order to do that, we have to keep ourselves from idols. And we've seen that it is a life of faith. This is the life that you and I are privileged to live. And it is privilege. And it is an opportunity to live such a life. Therefore, the book closes with this warning, with this command, keep yourselves from idols. In other words, do not let the idols of the world, do not let the idols of the human heart rob you of the wonder of the life that God has called you to live. When God saved our soul, He gave us the opportunity and He's called us to live a wonderful life, an abundant life. And yet, so many of God's people, it would be a far, far stretch to say that they live life abundantly. It would be a far, far stretch to say that they live a wonderful life. But for the child of God, life ought to be wonderful. And it can be. But there's this warning. Keep yourself from idols. Because it will hinder. It will prevent you from living this wonderful life. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we